How many are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. He, on Sunday morning, we're about to dismiss Ignite here in a second, but on Friday morning, he comes down from the bedroom, and I was sitting at the table downstairs in the kitchen area, and he says, "Dad, have you heard this new song by Elevation Worship? It just came out this morning." And I said, "No." And he started playing it, and he walked back upstairs, and I was listening to it, and tears just filled my eyes because it's like along the lines of what we're going to minister on this morning. And I said, "Hey, man, do you think you can, you know, just share that and have that ready for Sunday? I know it's last minute." And, you know, Mary said, "Yeah, it's fine, you know, we can do it." And it was just real powerful because, you know, that bridge of that chorus with the enemy, it's a promise of God that whatever the enemy meant for evil, God promises he'll turn it around for good. And, you know, to hear that and put that in, to hear that in the song, I thought it was just so powerful because we're going to go just flow with that this morning. But before we do that, we do have some middle schoolers that we need to dismiss so they can be go with Peter and Ashley Leota, Ignite, that is 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. If you can believe this, they're actually going to be leaving and making some room for all those guys in the back. And so they're all waiting patiently for some seats. And so give it up for our middle schoolers, the middle school nation. And if you are a 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, we'd encourage you to go to that middle school Bible study. It is for them. And it is, you know, it's just a great time. They get ministry. They get teaching. Talking about things at their level. And so, and all those guys in the back row, praise the Lord, I get to sit down and got a little bit of elbow room. But listen, so many faces this morning. So great to see you. Thank you so much for being here. It's awesome to see everybody here. Thank you of all. There's wonderful churches, incredible churches in the greater Halifax area. And thank you for choosing Family Worship Center this morning, you know, to be a part and worship with us. How many were here this past Wednesday for 707 Worship Live? That is, you know, every first Wednesday of the month, we just dedicated that night for just getting in the presence of God. It was incredible. It was awesome. Mary and the music ministry did a fantastic job. So those of you that were a part of that, thank you so much. It's awesome. If you're like, "Oh my gosh, I wish," you know, sometimes if those of you individuals on a Sunday morning say, "I wish that just worship was just a little bit longer," man, come to the first Wednesday of every month. 707, it's like an hour and a half of it at least. And so it's just really, really awesome. And so, but with that being said, how many know what tomorrow is? Back to school. Somebody in the first service said traffic. And but I just wanted to you know, as back to school is tomorrow. This past Sunday, we had last Sunday, we had our back to school with our teachers and our students, and, you know, invested into the teachers of our area at a 10 Family Worship Center. We were able to bless them with supplies, and it was an awesome time, you know, that they can press that down into all the students. And then so back to school starts tomorrow. How many know that on social media there's going to be all kinds of memes? All kinds of things like this. Brace yourself. Memes are about back to school. About the school. Back to school memes are coming. And so, you know that's the truth. There's going to be so many. So I wanted to share a few memes that you're going to be probably, you know, that we all can relate to in some way, shape, or form. Like, we all know this next one. You know, we know it's your kid's first day of school. There's going to be a plethora of first day of school pics. You know, if they're 12th graders, you're going to see side by side and, you know, pick collage, their first grade or preschool, and then their highest, you know, their 12th grade. You know you're going to see it, right? And then this is how some parents are going to look tonight, how parents looking at their kids the night before the first day of school. How many grew up with parents that talked about, "Oh my gosh, when I was a kid, we had to walk 5 miles in the snow through hail, through, you know, Hurricane Francis, Charlie, and, you know, and just to get to school on time." You know, how many parents like that? Yeah. So this is for that bus driver that threatened maybe telling the kids we'll sit here until y'all settle down wasn't the best idea. And then how many have more than one child in the house? So you know they're not the same. So two kinds of people when going back to school. You see the first one, you'll see the second. Look in the back on the floor. Yes. How many have one of each child, right? Yes. Yes. And then those moms, I mean, let's be honest, you know, in other news, kids are going back to school and moms are super happy. No moms in this service, just the first service, right? Right. And so, and then teachers in the house, right? Teachers, you don't have to acknowledge this or admit to this, but how teachers look pulling up in the parking lot the first day of school. They're ready for a war. They're ready for a fight. And then midday, this is what you feel like when you find a student using their phone during class, right? And then at the end of the day, this is how all the teachers look after the first day of school, right? They're just sitting there barely hanging on. And then for those students, you can appreciate this. You go to school, nothing happens. You miss one day. You miss six fights. Tupac comes back. School had a blackout, and Beyonce performed in the cafeteria. And then for the adults that watch all these kids, oh, my gosh, I have to go back to school. Oh, it's so difficult. And you don't know what it's like in 2019, you know, to go back to school. Well, what if I told you being in school is much better than working every day and having adult responsibilities? Can a parent say amen?
Amen.
So I challenge some parent to do this tomorrow. You know how they have the first day of school? Well, if you're tired of all the first day of school posts, this is your 8,376th day of work. And this is for Miss Maggie and her husband, Jose. Teachers asked me to turn in my essay, but I ain't no snitch. And the last one, my wife's like, okay, get on with it. Last one, and everyone can appreciate this. Fortnite detox begins at 8 a.m. Monday. Right? Can some parents say amen to that? Yes, she says amen, amen, hallelujah. I felt the anointing on that one. So let's go to the Father in prayer. As we open up the word, Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Father God, that we can come into this place, have a good time, come into your presence, and just be thankful for your presence. Be thankful for the anointing. Be thankful, Father God, for Jesus. So, Father God, we pray just as we always. We don't come into this place to be entertained, but we walk into this place. We are part of this church to be drastically changed. And when we walk out, we can say it was surely good to be in the presence of God together. In Jesus' name we pray, and all our church family said, amen and amen. Listen, how many of you can appreciate when a movie that you've been looking forward to comes out? How many would be honest and say, hey, I would go see it on opening night? You know, like you want to go see it on opening night. Man, I got it. All right, we appreciate that. I want to go see it opening night. Some people will even go to, you know, they say it doesn't open until Friday. So a lot of theaters will have that 12:01 showing in the middle of the night, right? 12:01. And so some people will go ahead and they'll be there at 12:01, right, in the morning just to watch that movie. There's something special about seeing a Broadway musical on opening night. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before, but, you know, they say it's very magical. It's awesome, you know, to be a part of the opening night of a Broadway musical. You know, but something about, you know, wanting to be the first to see something. I mean, Fandango, they do incredible business with selling tickets up to a month in advance. The highest grossing movie of all time, Avengers Endgame. They broke records on pre-sales for that movie. There was like for two, like all like I think it was a Saturday, a Friday and Saturday, you know, they sold out theaters a month in advance. It broke all kinds of records because people had to see it first. There's something about seeing something first that I think that catches my attention because, you know, I just want to just bring something to our attention today that I wonder if that's the way we were created. We were created with something inside to want to see things first. And I think that maybe perhaps the world, perhaps the enemy, you know, perverts it with things like, you know, just having to do this or having to do that. But I think that I've seen throughout the Word of God that there's examples, there's instances where God shows something to somebody and they see it first before anybody else. God puts something in, tells them something and they see it first. That is, it's incredible. I mean, you think about Olympic trainers when they're training the athletes, they're telling them to see themselves doing that triple axle spin flip, whatever it is, you know, or they see yourself doing that, see yourself making that jump, see yourself, making that time. It's something about seeing it first that is revolutionary to a certain degree, even to the point where they will even say, see yourself on that top tier with the our American flag behind you and that national anthem going. See yourself receiving that to that, even to that point that, you know, to see themselves in that position. You know, I played baseball for 9 years, and I remember coaches telling me that, you know, when I was trying to get batting power and I wanted to hit over the fence, you got to see yourself hitting that ball over the fence. You got to see yourself doing that. I think that you're starting to understand what I'm saying. Like, a lot of times we got to see ourselves doing things, you know, before we start doing them. You want to see yourself. I'm going to step on a little toes here. You see yourself, losing some pounds. You got to, you know, or you wanting to lose pounds. You got to see yourself that way first. Because if you always look at yourself as, you know, this or that overweight, or and it's, you're not gonna move past that. But seeing yourself in that light, it's just something about seeing it first. And so I'm thinking about that and praying about that. And then, you know, when Nate, you know, showed me that song and how that just dovetailed together with this morning, you know, as you see behind me, the title of the message this morning is See It First. In Isaiah chapter 54, the New King James Version says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We can just stop right there and say, man, that is amazing. That's awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? But there's so much more than that. It's so much deeper than no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. See, it being that no weapon formed against you will prosper is a part of our DNA. It says right there, it's in our heritage. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Or the King James Version says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, and you put those two things together. You put no weapon formed against us will prosper. And then that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And when you're talking about seeing it first, I think of, and I just pull a couple of examples this morning, just a couple, for sake of time. You think about Joshua in the walls of Jericho. You think about that for a second, right? There's Joshua in Joshua 6, and God tells Joshua to walk. This is a city. This is an iconic city. It's got iconic walls. The structure is iconic. I mean, the walls were so thick that they used to have chariot races on top. I mean, this is a massive structure that God is telling the Israelites that he's going to give this. That's a promise. On the other side of that wall is the promised land. On the other side of that wall is what God promised to them, not knowing where they were going. But it took Joshua. It was God said, now is the time. They were the ones that were going to receive the promise that God gave them. And so how are they going to take this city? He said, God told Joshua to walk around the city one time every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times. And after the seventh time, give a shout of victory. And when the shout of victory comes, I will give you the city. The walls will come crumbling down. Now, understand the importance that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And also, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because I don't know about you, but thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? How in the world am I going to walk? I am about to tell all these people that we're going to walk around a structure for one time every day, and then after that go camp someplace, and then do the same thing 7 days straight on the seventh time. Then do you think about that in your natural mind? My gosh, he had to understand that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and that they had to have faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. And they did that. And on the seventh day, they shouted, and you guys know the story. But here's the amazing thing about that story. And this is proven. This is not opinion. It is factual. It's documented that when the walls of Jericho fell, right, they didn't fall in. If you look, oh my gosh, someone attacked them from the outside and they fell in. The walls fell out, which is virtually impossible for them to fall the way they did, being attacked from the inside, even if they were attacked from the inside. That's God saying that. It's just my little extra to show that this wasn't no coincidence. It wasn't an earthquake. It wasn't this or that. That's powerful, but think about that. Joshua saw it first, then had to communicate that to thousands of people. Then you think about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 30. There's King Jehoshaphat, and they're telling him that armies are surrounding him, and that he's going to go out in the war, but before you go out in the battle, I should say, and before you go out in the battle, God says, before you go out in the battle, put your praise and worshipers, okay? Put the praise and worshipers in front. So he's like saying, hey, God saying, hey, John Calvin, go ahead and put Mary and Chu and Jeremy and Lindy and Ariana and Nick and Nate and the whole band, everybody, get everybody in there. And Ariana, get everybody, and they're going to be out in the front before the army, and they're going to go and do their thing. That is sketchy. You think about that. Think about. This, because I know some people like this president, some people don't like this president. So you think about President Obama, you think about President Trump, whichever one you like the most, okay, saying that to America. Okay, we're going to go to war, but we're going to put, some people from praise and worship, going to get Joel Osteen's church, and they're going to go out and they're going to lead people. Man, that would not fly. But you know what? God showed him something. He saw it first. He walked in faith and didn't add anything to it. He did exactly what God told him to do. See, because what happened was he did exactly that. They sent them out. And the Bible says that when they went, the armies went to attack, there was confusion and they ended up attacking each other and killing each other. By the time King Jehoshaphat's army got there, everybody was already dead. Now, that's one of two things. It was either God or the praise and worshipers were really that bad. Okay? That's, I mean, just saying it. You know, it made me think of that. That's some pretty bad music when they start sacrificing themselves. You know? But I don't believe that. I mean, because the Bible said they killed each other. And so, you know, if you think about how that goes, I mean, just the mentality of that. No weapon formed against us will prosper. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The NIV version says the weapons we fight with are not of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You think about why is it so challenging for children of God today to see it first? Why is it so challenging for them? Because you know what? We have a hard time trusting God. Let's just be honest. I think sometimes a lot of us have a hard time trusting God. Because you know what? We don't go back to what the Word of God says about us. Because we don't know what the Word of God says about us. You know, having a relationship with God is not just attending Sunday to Sunday. Or one Sunday a month. Or two Sundays a month. You know, well, I attend two Sundays and then the first Sunday or first Wednesday. No, I'm not talking about your church participation. I'm talking about your relationship with God. Your relationship with God, our relationship with God should be an everyday thing. Your relationship with God should not be based upon the church. It shouldn't be based upon whether, you know, that, you know, Mary, you know, prayed out a good lineup or not. You know, praise and worship about it. If Pastor John or Pastor Kathy prayed out a good message or not, shouldn't be based upon that. It should be based upon. See, I always said this. Church should be an overflow of what we're getting in our own prayer closet. Okay? Well, it should be an overflow of what we're already getting in our own prayer closet. That's where when we come to church, it's not about us anymore. See, I shared that last week. That when there's some time in my, I remember the time frame. I don't remember why I saw, but I just remember when it happened. That one day I came to church and it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about what, and at that time it was Pastor Tom was the pastor, you know, the founding pastor. It wasn't about what Pastor Tom was going to say to stir me up. Something switched. Something clicked. I just switched over and I saw things differently, not with this, but with this. My heart, that it wasn't about me getting something anymore. It was about me giving something. How can God use me today? At the time I was singing as a music minister. As a worshiper on the music ministry. Wasn't even the music minister. I was just singing. Walt Justice was the, who was attending the first service. He was the music minister at the time. I was a youth worker. I wanted to be used by God. And within these walls gave me the confidence to go outside the walls and be an example. Go outside the walls and share the love of God. Go outside these walls. And where it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me just barely making it. Me barely, you know, I walk into work. I worked for Outback for 5 years. I worked for Carrabba's for a year. And when I worked that last year at Carrabba's, you know, it wasn't, when I walked in, it wasn't about, it got to the point, even that switch. It wasn't about me going in and making money anymore. All of a sudden, I didn't realize it, but I was being a light and example by just the way I was living. And so I was going in, and it was about, okay, God, who are you going to use me with tonight? Who's going to say something? What's going to happen? And you know, a situation would rise where you know they would mock me because you know they would, you know how it is in the restaurant business. They want to go out and party at the end of the night. And I'm good. Saturday night, come on. They used to call me Father John, right? Because we just took over as the youth pastors. You know, he's going to be Father John. It's kind of like, hey, Father John, you know, you sure you wanted to come out with us? You can have a little glass of wine, have communion with us, you know, and all this stuff. And I just, yeah, I'm good. But you know what? I just kept, didn't let it bother me. just because of a little opposition came my way didn't mean that I just threw in a towel. See, the Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper. It doesn't say I will not cause a weapon to ever form against you. See, a lot of us will give, a lot of us just talk plainly, we give up when we see the weapon being formed. Oh my, come on, oh my gosh, I can't deal with that. I cannot deal with that. Oh my gosh. You know, and we see the weapon and we get in fetal position with a thumb in our mouth just because of the weapon. It's not even coming against us yet. Because you know why that is? Because we don't know who we are in Christ yet. I don't believe that. I believe we haven't gotten the rhema, the illumination of who we are in Christ. Jesus never promised that by accepting him, and you know, as he told Nicodemus, no man can come to the Father but by me. You must be born again, you know, and that's not a natural birth. That is a spiritual thing. And he never said after you do that, it's going to be rainbows, butterflies, marshmallows, and puppies. You know, he didn't say that. Opposition, challenges, weapons will be formed against us. But understanding who we are in Christ causes us to be an overcomer. It causes us when challenges or temptations come, that the Bible promises that there will never be a temptation that can overtake us, that God will always provide a way out. But if we don't know these things because we're not spending time in His Word, if we don't know these things, then guess what? We're going to be the ones that curl up in the fetal position with their thumb in our mouth before an attack even happens. It's just, the Bible talks about that the devil goes around as. You notice that he doesn't say in the Bible, it doesn't say the devil goes around or the devil is a roaring lion. The Bible says that the devil goes around as a roaring lion. It's just a big mockery. It's a big fake. He said, I used to love when Pastor Tommy used to say this. He says, the devil's a big pile of nothing. It's nothing. He's no power. The Bible talks about that when we one day will see what he looks like, we're going to all say, are you for real? That's who's been messing with this whole time? It doesn't even say that when they get him by his little neck and they throw him into the pit for 1,000 years, it doesn't even say that Jesus is going to do it. It doesn't even say that God's going to do it. It says an angel's going to do it. Just a random angel. And yet, when we hear that roar, some of us curl up and just say, no, 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 no. It's honestly because we don't know who we are in Christ. And that's because we're not spending time in the Word like we should. We don't know what the Word of God says about us. I mean, we can quote what we can hear other people quote. Oh, I'm the head and I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a success looking for a place to happen. I mean, we've all heard the saints of God say that throughout the years. But if we don't have a revelation of that, all I'm doing is quoting somebody else. I'm an echo. And God hasn't called us to be an echo. He's called us to be voices. And see, that's where it's so important for our children. It's so important for our children that they serve God themselves. They serve their God. They don't serve your God, mom and dad. And what do I mean by that? They choose God for themselves. That Nick, Nate, and Jules, they don't serve John and Kathy's God. They have a relationship with God all on their own. Because it comes a point in time where they have to step out on their own. They're not underneath our covering any longer. And they have to know who they are in Christ. And I thank God that I learned that not being a father, not being a parent, but I learned that as a youth minister. I learned that seeing generation after generation after generation graduate DYG, Decision Youth Group, and then fall away. What in the world? Why? Because their relationship with God was based on the youth group, what they were getting out of the youth group. And God showed me years and years and years ago to try and teach them how not to rely on the church or the youth group for their relationship with God. But try and teach them and show them the importance of a relationship one-on-one with the Great One every single day. And then when they graduate the youth group, it doesn't matter if they move to the college. The youth group might change. They're no longer there. But the relationship with God, that stays the same. And that's why it's so important for you not to just rely on Sundays. It's so important for you to cultivate that relationship with God every single day. I can honestly say that, I'm going to make a random, not a random statement, bold statement, but you know, not, this is not doubt and unbelief. If every church was wiped out tonight, every church in the world was just wiped out tonight, and you're like, you're a pastor and you're saying that? Absolutely. If every church was wiped out tonight, I would still be serving God tomorrow. My relationship with God would still be strong tomorrow. Because my relationship with God isn't about getting messages ready. My relationship with God is first. That's the priority. Because here's the thing. Having a relationship with God causes me to be a better child of God. My relationship with God causes me to be a better husband. My relationship with God causes me to be a better father, be a better pastor, be a better fill in the blank. It's not the position, because see, we're all in the same position. We're all children of God first. And that's the priority. And when we walk in that, there's blessings. There's blessings in it. But that's not why we walk in it. That shouldn't be the reason why we walk the way we walk and how we know who we are in Christ. It's not to be blessed. Or should I say, not just to be blessed. I mean, God desires us. I mean, he said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, to give you life and give you more abundantly. He wants us to live an abundant life. He wants us to live a life of the overflow. Yes, that's true, but that is not the main reason. The main reason is for us to walk in all that God created for us to walk in our destiny, to walk, to be all that you can possibly be. One of the greatest days of your life is when you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The second greatest day of your life is why you are here on this earth. When you discover that, that's powerful. That's powerful. And for each and every one of us, it is what Jesus said when he ascended to heaven. He said, be witnesses to me in Judea, Samaria, until the ends of the earth. We talked about it last week. That is all of us across the board. Oh, well, I'm not much of a prayer. You don't have to be much of a prayer. All you got to do is know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Have a heart to share the love of God. That is God's heartbeat. I mean, we sing it when we sing Reckless Love. God leaves the 99 to go after the one. Amen. The challenge is we have some people in church, and not this church, but the churches as a whole, that are too comfortable within the 99 and say, it's Nancy's job to go do that. Oh, it's Lisa's job to go do that. It's Jeremy's job to go do that. It's not my job. That's not true. It's all of our jobs. And then God has a specific destiny, the specific purpose for your life. That's why it's so important to go through Grow, a family worship center. You know, Grow, step two happened today. Step three is amazing because they talk about your spiritual gifts, talks about what you're drawn to, gives you a target of what's so important to you. So how you can be involved and how you can help cultivate that. And when you talk with people, new individuals in the house, what's Grow? Grow, you know, is a four-week set, four sessions. Step one, step two, step three, four. And they do them every month, you know, over in Suite 5 at 9 a.m. Helps you identify, to locate what are your giftings? Where are you passionate about? And then we help to give you training in that because we believe in people. Pastor Kath and I believe in we believe in you to give you opportunities so that you can be, be developed within these walls, to be confident, to be that child of God you see outside these walls. Because it's always good to mess up when you're with family, right? I mean, we're all at home, right? We're all at home. It's okay, you know. You know, we're our real selves, but we're a family here. So you know what? Somebody, you know, when somebody's playing or singing, they sing a wrong note. It's okay. They're learning. They're developing. That's where we're here, man. It's give individuals opportunity to develop, grow in leadership. It's so important for our walk with God. But we must trust God. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says that what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. If Mary and the team would come up, you know, some of us in the house need to see that victory. See the victory that you've been battling against. See that victory. Some things that God's put in your heart. Seeing things. Who you are to be. Those things that God placed in your heart, maybe some dreams he's calling you back to, that you shelved because maybe you got hurt. You shelved because you got hurt by a church. You shelved because you got hurt by an individual. You got let down by somebody, and you shelved that, and you said, I'm good with that. I don't need that. You know, I don't need church. I don't need God. You know, I just come in because it makes me feel good. No, no, God's calling. He's calling you just like he used to go down in Genesis and spend time with Adam and Eve. The Bible says he used to go down in the cool of the day, as it was his custom. So that means he did it on a regular basis. And he would go down, Adam, where are you? And spend time together. He still calls your name. He still longs for you. He still looks for you to be all he created to be. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how you rejected God. He still loves you and he still believes in you. That will never change because he is the same. God says in his word, he is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. He will never, ever, ever lose hope on you. He will never stop believing in you. Because he loves you. He believes in you. It's time for you to see yourself the way he sees you. There's some people in the house this morning that need that overflow in your life. And it's not an overflow of finances, a blessing. It's not an overflow of you need a breakthrough, an overflow in healing. And you need to see yourself healed. A breakthrough of overflow in direction. You got to see yourself moving forward in confidence. Moving forward. Not staying still, not stalling out, but moving forward. Some need a breakthrough of overflow to be free of addiction. You need to see yourself set free. Some need a breakthrough of overflow in your family. You've been believing to get pregnant. And you've lost hope. God's saying, start speaking to that womb. Start speaking. See yourself with that baby. See yourself in that delivery room. A breakthrough of overflow just in unforgiveness. You need to see yourself forgiving some individuals. Doesn't matter what they did to you. Gosh, I could tell you story after story after story of people who have done me wrong. Oh, it doesn't do anything. Unforgiveness doesn't do anything but hurts yourself. It's like me having unforgiveness for somebody else is like me drinking poison and expecting the other person to die from it. It doesn't work that way. We have to just forgive and then walk in peace. A breakthrough of overflow in leadership. Some of you have been itching and saying, it's time for me to step up. It's time for me to step out. It's time for me to do a small group. It's time for me to lead a small group. It's time. And then we're not doing it. It's time. You need to see yourself leading that small group. A breakthrough and overflow in evangelism, praying and leading people to Jesus. You can do it.